Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels on the players' off day, though the coaches are still in that building behind me working hard, breaking down film, some of the meeting with the media. Earlier this morning, we got to talk to all three coordinators, but the players have the day off, so no practice today. Of course, the one day it's finally overcast and a little drizzly and actually really lovely outside, there's no practice. Supposed to be very nice for the rest of the week, so you'll be able to stop hearing me complain about the heat, which is all well and good. But because there's no practice, I just wanted to go over kind of a review of everything I've seen since I've been here. Trying to highlight a few guys maybe I haven't talked about quite as much as others. Obviously, guys like Matthew Golden, who's been making play after play, or Nazir Stackhouse, who I know I've talked a lot about. I just want to highlight a few other guys, starting with Micah Robinson, the seventh round corner, who every time I've watched him, and I haven't obviously tracked him every single play in every single team period, but every time I have watched him, he has done a very good job kind of utilizing his technique on the outside as far as using the perimeter or using the boundary as his help. You know, he has a really good job, and he's done it against all manner of receivers, whether it's, you know, some vets or even his fellow rookie in Matthew Golden. He's had a handful of snaps where he's done a very good job of making sure that he's not kind of overcommitting to any single kind of move that the wide receiver makes. And then once they commit to getting upfield, he knows how to use the sideline. He knows how to press that and make sure that the quarterback doesn't have room, has nowhere to put the ball. It's happened on a number of occasions, and it's pretty heady stuff for a rookie. And again, this is something that's been noticeable on a consistent basis. So I know I haven't talked about him a little bit here on daily or in any of my recap videos, but I did want to mention him as someone that has kind of caught my eye a couple of times. I think I tweeted about it once, and I wrote down something a couple days ago, but that's a guy that, you know, could be interesting for a team that certainly we talked a lot this offseason about the need for some of these young unheralded corners to take a step and to become that dependable depth that they are so clearly going to need. He's certainly been intriguing. And on the cornerback tip, another guy who is certainly, and this is more than just, you know, the coach talked about this at the podium a couple days ago, but Kalen King has certainly looked the part. And he had a big pick six yesterday in the 2-2. He has been very, very solid. He had a couple of pass breakups, even going against the ones at practice yesterday. He's been great, both from my eyes, from the perimeter and in the slot. They've kind of been utilizing him in both situations. He hasn't really got a ton of run with the number one defense, but from what I've seen, again, when I've kind of watched, say, pre-snap, okay, I'm going to make sure I focus on King here, he's held up very well, and he's broken up a ton of passes. Here's hoping, man, this family night and then into the joint practices, these guys start to get some real looks against top competition, because again, they're going to be counting on depth there without question. The other thing I wanted to touch on a little bit is Jordan Morgan and kind of the plight that the circumstances have put him in. We talked to Adam Stenovich earlier this morning about the fact that Morgan has barely sniffed any snaps at tackle. You know, and the conversation all offseason was how there was going to be a competition at left tackle. And now I don't read in anything about, you know, Matt getting upset at Rashid Walker at the end of practice yesterday. And now Steno's talking about, oh, yes, now that Jenkins is back there at center, we're going to be able to kick him out more and get him some of those reps. You know, I do think they still very much want to see Jordan Morgan at tackle and see what he can do out there on a more consistent basis. But I don't know. It really feels like they're maybe not undercutting him is the wrong phrase, but I really wish he could just focus on one spot. You know, they've bounced him around from right guard to left guard out of necessity because Banks has missed time and Jenkins has been on the sideline. But man, I would love to see a product where he gets to hone in on one position and really work at it and hopefully take that position and become a starter there, whether that is at tackle or guard. I don't really care, but it's the idea that he has bounced around so much and now will be bouncing around even more. I don't know. I'm not a fan of it. I know that is the way LaFleur and company have operated best five, and you got to be versatile. We've heard Brian talk about that during the draft process. They really love that versatility. But man, I do wonder if they're not stunting his growth, but if he couldn't come along maybe a little faster, if they were to stick him in one spot and just let him compete there. But obviously I ain't running things and I don't care what I think. So that it's just something to watch now that he'll hopefully be getting a few more opportunities out there at left tackle. Certainly want to see that come to fruition. Want to see him go against some of the ones out there on an island, so to speak. Certainly he had his ups and downs in the one-on-ones. You know, I think Lucas Van Ness got him a couple of times yesterday. And there have been moments where he's looked really good and really solid. But again, if he were focused on one area, I think he'd have a better opportunity. I think he'd, you know, be able to maybe put a few more quality reps together, string them together, so to speak. You know, the other thing I wanted to touch on was Malik Willis. It's crazy to think that he played those first two games in a Packers uniform after no training camp whatsoever and just a couple weeks in the building, and then there he was on the field starting for the Packers. It's very noticeable how much command he has of the offense in a way he probably didn't last year. Stenovich mentioning that this morning about how last year it was all about, not going to say spoon feeding, but really kind of diving into, okay, what are you comfortable with as far as concepts and what type of plays and what kind of throws or where is your comfort zone? And we are just going to basically like strip down the playbook for those specific concepts. And that's what we'll call while you're out there. Right. But now he's really taken his game to another level. I think he is an incredibly undervalued asset in Green Bay right now. God forbid anything ever happened to Jordan Love. Obviously, not thinking of it, not wishing it, obviously. But man, the idea that this guy can come in now with a full command of the Packers offense and a full knowledge of kind of the inner workings of it, you've seen out there at practice, day in and day out, he has made some really impressive plays and throws. He had a heater over the middle yesterday that, I mean, could have put the ball through a wall. And he hit Hicks, I believe, on a deep in cut for a monster gain. And it's just, he is unafraid. He is ripping it. And it is very nice to have the luxury of a guy who has started in the NFL at times, right? Had a number of starts as your backup, who can come in now with a full knowledge of the offense. Really, really excited to watch him in preseason, because I think he's going to maybe not put on a show. Maybe it won't be Mr. August like Hasselbeck back in the day, but he'll certainly be fun to watch. Let's say that. There's just some random ramblings that I wanted to touch on. Obviously, I want to get to you fine folks in your questions and comments. Before we do so, got to give a shout out to our good friends over there at Ticket King. Based in Wisconsin since the early 90s, Ticket King is located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link on the Cheesehead TV homepage, or indeed, in the description of this video. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of these national companies. Use a company based in Wisconsin since 1992. Ticket King, for all your Packers ticket needs. Do it, folks. All right, let's get to your questions. What's going on, everybody? Good to see everybody chiming in already. Brandy, thanks for the super chat. How are you? Halfley says the right stuff and seems like a sincere person. I guess I'm on board with the defense, LOL. Wait, see, now this is a momentous occasion. Brandy Lewis, even with a year behind her of Halfley tape that she can break down and pick apart and maybe find complaints. No. Brandy, she of hating anything and everything having to do with the Packers defense for time and time and time again, is on board with the defense. Baby, ladies and gentlemen, this is how we know the Packers defense is legit. Let's go. FMCH, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. If Brandy's down with the defense, then I'm sold too. Random Packer, Mike Pryor, the forgotten safety of the 96 team. Hey, Mike Pryor was an ultimate glue guy. You talk about, yes, very unheralded, but certainly did a lot of dirty work and was not afraid to hit. He was a heat-seeking missile at times. Maybe sometimes it would take him out of a play, but yeah, Pryor was good stuff, and certainly a, I'm not going to say integral part, but a important part of that team, no doubt about it. Guitar Ted, yes, new linebacker signing this afternoon. The Packers announcing it just before I went live. They have signed linebacker Jared Bartlett and release safety Kazir Brown, not to be confused with Omar Brown, who has been making plays. Kazir Brown is out the door. Jared Bartlett, he was an undrafted free agent for the Jets back in May. He signed early May. They cut him about 5 days ago when they made a couple of signings. Bartlett, I don't know a ton about his game, but I will say this. At this point, you are churning your roster, looking at stuff you need probably on the back end when it comes to special teams. I would suspect that's what this signing is. Maybe, I mean, huge, maybe underlined, italicized, maybe he actually gets to contribute from scrimmage. But I would suspect this is a transaction that lets them take a look and see if he can help them on special teams. Justice and I have talked about this quite a bit over the course of this offseason as far as the body types that they've been looking for and wanting to add and utilize on special teams changing over the course of the last 5 years. And Bartlett would probably fit that bill. So we'll see. You know, he'll be presumably out there at practice tomorrow, and we'll see how much of the fire he gets thrown into, so to speak. Adrian, thanks for the super chat, man. Appreciate it. Who do you think had a bigger impact on the city of Green Bay, Lambeau, Lombardi, or Mark Murphy? I may have asked this before. That's a good question for Corey Banky. Corey, what do you think? Who has had a bigger impact on the city of Green Bay, Lambeau, Lombardi, or Mark Murphy? Corey's official answer is it's not called Lombardi or Murphy Field. So I guess his answer is Curly Lambeau. And that's, you know, that's hard to argue with, actually. I mean, given the fact that the team sprung up the way it did, entwined with the community, and without Lambeau, none of that happens and none of this exists. Yeah, I could take that. I could see that. I'll roll with Corey's answer there. Isaiah, that's a good question. I was actually on a podcast earlier this afternoon. We talked a little bit about this. Hey, Nags, in your opinion, is this the most competitive the division has been? I mean, going into the season on paper, yeah, it's certainly not the norm or hasn't been the norm over the course of the last decade plus, right? But I would emphasize on paper, right? Things can change very quickly. And it's interesting because I know the vibes around each team are a certain way. You know, we talk about the Bears and the new head coach, and they've done a lot to try and bolster the offensive side of the ball and help their young quarterback. I think they're going to have a pretty damn good defense yet again. I mean, it's funny, like they change coaches, change scheme, coordinator, etc. Dennis Allen's a really good coordinator, and not to put too fine a point on it, Dennis Allen's given Matt LaFleur some fits over the course of their careers as far as play caller, defensive play caller matching up against each other. I think their defense is going to be really good. I think it's going to take time on the offensive side of the ball, right? I don't think that's telling tales out of school or a surprise, but they could be a very tough out. I don't know if that means they win a bunch of games, but they're going to be a tough team to beat. And then you look at the Vikings, and clearly it's about the quarterback switch. And I think Kevin O'Connell is one of the best coaches in the league. He's really going to be tested this year with this young man who has not thrown a single pass in the NFL taking over a pretty damn loaded team, especially on offense. They obviously spent a lot of money, a lot of veterans brought in this offseason to try and probably bolster that roster around that young man. But man, I don't know. I think the potential is for a fall off is real there just because of the quarterback. But I have a hard time betting against O'Connell. I think he's really good. And then in Detroit, obviously it's the bully, right? It's, you know, Dan Campbell, and he has certainly had Matt LaFleur's number. The brain drain could be real, both coordinators going on and getting head coaching jobs. They've already, I mean, I don't know if you follow the updates from Lions camp, but they're already dealing with a bunch of injury stuff. We haven't even started real hitting yet. You know, there haven't even been a game played yet. So, yeah, I think you look at all four teams, and there's a lot of talent on all their rosters. You got to look at Jordan Love and his play, and if he can be consistent, that should be able to help the Packers separate from that group. But Jared Goff has, you know, been excellent up until now. can he be as efficient, as good as he has been without Ben Johnson? That's a big, big question mark, right? I just think, you know, this is going to be a dogfight throughout the division, and it puts kind of a little bit of extra pressure, a little bit of more weight on that opener. I mean, finally we get it here at Lambeau Field, but that is a big division matchup right out of the gate against a team that has, like, not to put too fine a point on it, kind of kicked your ass over the course of the last 4 years or so. Yeah, it's going to be a battle. It is as competitive as I've probably seen this division since it was the NFC Central. I mean, usually there's a team or two teams that are like kind of duking it out for first place, and then the other two are kind of fighting for scraps. Or there's one real dominant team and the rest are kind of in a malaise. But man, this does remind me of the Central days, you know, and there were a lot of really quality teams really fighting tooth and nail throughout the regular season. Here's hoping the Packers can kind of turn that page and get back to dominating the NFC North again. Absolutely. Need that to happen. Corey could tell you this, but he's gone now. The plant behind the helmet. He told me the name the other day, and I've totally forgotten it. Joe, thanks for the super chat. Matt LaFleur looking ticked off and more gray hair. I like it. Policy effect? I don't think it has anything to do with Ed Policy coming in. I know the internet is dying for some kind of narrative about, oh, Ed Policy is going to, quote, hire his own guys. But people seem to forget that Policy was intricately involved in the hiring of Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur. You know, they have really good relationships. And the only way I see this going south or turning for Policy is if they have a disastrous season that isn't due to a bunch of injuries. And that's very unlikely to happen. So, you know, as far as like gray hairs or whatever, I think that's just, you know, Matt's getting a little older and the job, it does take its toll. I mean, what's impressive for LaFleur though, is he has not succumbed to the traditional head coach road that most of these guys travel. You know, you go and you look at the news conference from when they are hired, whether you're talking Mike Holmgren, you're talking Mike Sherman, you're talking Mike McCarthy. They start so young and they look so full of hope. And then like you fast forward like 5-6 years and you can tell they've been in that office late at night, eating cheese curds, and you know, the stress starts to wear on them. They put on some weight and they just look very different. Matt has escaped that. Matt still looks dope as hell. And it kind of annoys me, actually. Was really kind of hoping he would like maybe let himself go a little bit, enjoy the Green Bay lifestyle, but that certainly has not occurred. And I'm sure he, you know, it's because he takes great care of himself and isn't stressed about the fact that there's a new president and CEO. Porkmaster, what's up, man? Has Detroit considered firing their training staff? That would solve the injuries, right? I mean, it's the tried and true method if you read the internet. That is for sure. You know what's funny? I'm trying to think if I remember reading whether Dan Campbell had kind of restarted the strength and conditioning program at any point in the recent years. Maybe he has. I don't know. I know here in Green Bay, right? LaFleur did just 2 years ago. But, yeah, I don't know. Clearly, that's the answer, though. Ed, thanks for the super chat. Am I wrong in thinking the Hall of Fame game has to be a pain in the ass? You are not wrong, sir. I do think coaches actually like it. I think the players probably find it annoying unless you're way down on the depth chart, down bottom end of the roster, and you get an extra opportunity to showcase yourself, to fight for a job, right? But, the evaluators appreciate having some more tape, but you're also holding your breath throughout the whole thing, hoping that no one gets hurt. If you're fighting for a job, it's another opportunity, which is a good thing. But on balance, yeah, it's a bit of a pain in the ass, no doubt. Fausti, thanks for the super chat. Ed Policy of Truth, go Pack, go. That's almost as good as Tom Bombadil. Ed Policy of Truth. There we go, a new Depeche Mode song. I like it. Brandy, thanks for the super chat. Packers got to start off fast, run game, and take a shot or two might not be the worst game plan until they get in sync. No dumb mistakes versus the Lions. Brandy, that last part is the key to me. And it's something we haven't really talked a lot with Matt about so far. And it's early, you know, camp just really literally just put pads on 2 days ago. But, you know, the discipline for this football team is going to be paramount in kind of eliminating a lot of the stuff that ailed them against not just the Lions, but pretty much everybody in the NFC North last year. Whether it was false starts, whether it was holding calls in the red zone, whether it was pre-snap penalties, you know, drop passes, etc. The list was long, and you know, it was a litany of mistakes that cost the Packers games. Putting the ball on the ground, something this offense has been doing a little bit too much of so far this summer. Big fumbles and big moments by big players, whether it was Christian Watson, whether it was Josh Jacobs down the stretch there. You just can't win like that, especially close, tough fought divisional games. Those mistakes are almost always, they will directly contribute to you losing. So for me, a huge component this year is, can they do exactly what you're talking about? No dumb mistakes and start it. Yes. Versus the Lions, which that's a team that hits and plays to the echo of the whistle and begs you to make a mistake and begs you to get in your head. And I think we've seen that a couple of times now. I mean, we certainly saw it. I think it was the opening kick last year when Detroit came to Lambeau and Nixon did something or said something out of bounds and you got a flag after a big return, but that pushed them back, right? It's these dumb mistakes that cost you games, that cost you points, that cost you opportunities. That to me is a major component for how this team can take that step to from being just, oh, we're a young team that's scrappy and we're making the playoffs, to we're division champs now because we don't make dumb mistakes and we take care of business, especially at home against the division. Abdul, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Hey, Aaron, any word on how King and Melton looked? Well, I talked about King a little bit ago. He has certainly looked the part. He looks like he's taking that step that you want to see between year one and year two. It's still very early, but he has been physical. He has been confident when breaking on the football, and he's made a number of plays on the ball, including a pick six yesterday. He has certainly gotten off to the kind of start you would hope for a guy entering year two. As far as Melton goes, I got to admit, I thought he would look a lot more lost, and he has not. And I'm not saying he's arrived. I'm not saying, oh, he's definitely made the roster or any of that. But he's looked a lot better than I thought he would. And it was interesting hearing from Rich Bisaccia this morning talking about how, you know, obviously the headlines, you all saw them about, you know, making the switch this spring, and they had talked to him about the potential that that could happen. But then, you know, Rich said this offseason, after they went away, after the offseason program was over, he went and worked with his brother, who you all know, you know, was in the draft class last year down in Arizona. He is a corner. And apparently he and Bo spent some time this offseason working on, you know, technique at the position and what to look for and the kinds of kind of physical things you're going to need to do at the position. And I got to say, early first blush, it looks like it's paying off. Because it doesn't look too big for him. It doesn't look like he's overwhelmed. It doesn't look like he's not sure of himself. You know, he looks like he belongs at corner. Which, again, that's a real testament to the work he's done, because that is not an easy switch to make however many years into your career when you've only played wide receiver. That's impressive. That's very impressive. Andrew Ware, what's up, man? Fly the W. Haha, had to. But this race is going to be razor thin. Love hearing about Golden developing. That is what you want to see. Well, you know, Andrew, you get to fly the W as a consolation prize after getting your ass kicked the last 2 days. I understand Cubs fans got to hold on to whatever they can because they know the Brewers are the better team. And certainly we're about to pass you permanently. And you're going to be in the rearview mirror going, oh, but wait, don't forget about us. And the Brewers are just going to cruise to the division title. But, you know, it's good, man. I'm glad you got a win. Glad you can enjoy it on this Wednesday afternoon, because God knows, I know you've probably been crying the last two nights. Yeah, the Golden thing is amazing. I can't put into words how good and exciting and explosive, and choose a word that's positive, that he looks like. He has stepped in and been, so far, a dream at that position. Now, that doesn't mean he's not making mistakes. He certainly is. Certainly has a lot to work on and build on, etc. But you talk about the like dream narrative of, oh, you draft this kid in the first round and he's really explosive and fast and this guy who could be a big playmaker for you. Well, you would hope you'd come into camp and that's what you would see. Well, that is what we have seen. I mean, that play yesterday, the 60-yard touchdown, there's not a dude within five steps of him. That doesn't happen in most NFL games, practices, what have you, anything, name it. Like, it's rare when you leave people in the dust like that in like an actual play. I'm excited, man. I am excited. And it's not just like the deep shot. Like, he's done really good work underneath. He's been physical, a lot more physical than I expected him to be this early on. He is exciting, man. It is the golden show at this point out here at camp. Brandy, thanks again. That first game versus the Lions last year, I felt the Packers were outmatched. That second game, it was about even. Thoughts? I think the physicality really got to them. The physicality of the Lions really got to them in that first game. I'm with you on the second game. It was close. Again, you don't if you come out and at least just drive a little bit and get points on that first drive, even a field goal, rather than take that sack and go three and out or whatever it was, you know, and then fumble on the third possession to give them another opportunity and take points, possible points off your own board. That just kind of cast the die there. And I do think you could see the fact that, you know, the Packers were talented enough to win that game. They really sabotaged themselves, and the Lions are really good. Like, you can't take away what Dan Campbell has built there and the program that they have and the talent that they've assembled. It's a really good football team. No question about it. What else we got, folks? Bucky, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Appreciate you. Are our trenches good enough to get us to and prevail in Santa Clara come February? I think so, on offense particularly. I think they've got more depth on the offensive line than I've seen in quite some time. And it's, you know, some bruisers in there. I mean, Belton is impossible to miss. And he has only been running at tackle so far. So you got to suspect that's going to be a depth piece, right? You know, he's not winning the left tackle job, and Zach Tom's got the right tackle job on lock. So, and then you look at the interior guys, they've all had really good stretches, and they've all, you know, maybe struggled at times in a couple plays here or there. But yeah, man, I think on the offensive side in particular, they're in a good spot. Defense, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, so little has been added from the outside. Now you've got my boy Stackhouse. I've certainly talked up a lot. I think Kenny moving to nose is going to help. I think Wyatt being your three tech as a starter and being on the field a lot more is going to help. Obviously, so much is going to come down to Lucas Van Ness and Rashawn Gary on the edges and holding up there, both in the run game, but certainly in the passing game and getting after the quarterback and not having to resort to calling different pressures or calling exotics or, you know, simulated pressures or things of that nature. There, I don't know. We'll see. I suspect, yes. I mean, I think, you know, Brent Cox Jr. has been talking like he really expects to compete for at least a spot in the rotation, which I think he'll get. You know, I think Baron Sorrell has been quiet so far, but that doesn't mean much because it is early and he is a rookie. Haven't really focused on him a ton as he's been running more with the twos, but mixed in with the ones at times. So we'll see, man. We'll see. That's, to me, that was the kind of the question mark all offseason, right? We've talked about it a lot here on Daily, and I think it remains a question. And that's, I'm interested in seeing and finding out. Let's say that. Ed, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. Sometimes I see my name. Sometimes it's my handle. I'm confused. Packers don't confuse me at all. Just go undefeated. I'm sure that's the plan, Ed. Joe, thanks again, man. Golden best Packer rookie wide receiver since .. Jennings? All right, let's dial it back a little bit. It's exciting. He's certainly shown promise, and he's made some plays, but he's got a ways to go. The thing that people maybe sometimes forget about Jennings is he learned all three spots from the jump, you know, and was utilized in all three spots right away by McCarthy. You know, Golden is still very much learning as he goes, and certainly, like I said, he's been making plays. There's no doubt about that, but he's got some work to do. Let's put it that way. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor and hit like on the video. Subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. I'll be back tomorrow after practice. Thanks so much, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.